Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Cole Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
And this is Rick Swan.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
I'm Rocco Cesar Romero.
David Starr.
Support WrestleTalk.
You are watching WrestleTalk.
Congratulations, you got here. Now, subscribe
and support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk and please subscribe now.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support me. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Because they talk about wrestling, and I like it.
Support WrestleTalk. Go subscribe.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is, and whoever Luke Owen is, support the Ravens. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, and I'm joined by Dave, just Dave, the friend, Dave not Meltzer. You've got a lot of names now.
I have many, many names, almost as many as Shorty.
Almost as many as Shorty. Well, we'll come on to that in the main portion of the show. But yes, Dave is here. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Hi. Yes.
Hello,
how's
Dave.
Your week been, mate?
Do you know what? It's been okay.
Yeah?
It has been lazy for the most part.
Good.
Got friends visiting from America.
Yes, we do.
Always very nice.
Yeah. I'll be going round to your house tonight with friends.
Yes, we've been practicing beer pong.
Yeah.
We're playing with...
Practicing. That's big air quotes, by the way.
Well, some of us don't need practice. You know, I'm not one of those people. I do.
Yeah.
Desperately. My beer pong ability is wildly erratic at best.
Good.
And we're playing with the weird American rules.
What's the weird American rules?
So, like, whenever I've played it, and I'm sure you're the same, you put the beer in the cups, and the ball, the ping pong ball, has one bounce, middle of the table, to go into the cups.
Yeah, can do it that way,
The American rules are, there are no bounces, and you put water in the cups, and drink your own beer because it's more hygienic, which I can kind of get because the ball can go on the floor.
Right,
it's fine. And then... there are just a multitude of other little rules here and there. Because you play in teams, apparently, and everyone on one team throws their ball at one time, not at once, but in order.
Kay.
And, like, you know, if all of them get one in the cups, then they get the balls back and throw again. And if they get it into the same cup, then you remove another cup. And you can rearrange them twice per team, and there are weird names for the rearrangement alignments.
You know what makes... beer pong more fun.
More
rules!
A complex set of rules that you will definitely remember the more you drink.
Yes. Like, drinking rules, drinking games, having more rules is fun, because if you break the rules, then you have to drink more.
Exactly.
That's not the case with this beer pong, though.
No.
You've just got to abide by the rules.
Yes.
And that's not fun.
No, exactly. And especially when it's one person who you have to trust.
And Carson is not very trustworthy.
No, not even a little bit. at least three or four times where he'd say a rule and everyone else was sort of looking going, wait, really?
That's not right.
That's not what we did last time.
Yeah.
And he's going, just do it.
Classic. We've got another friend staying as well who's actually staying at our place. So you've got the American friend staying at your house.
Yes.
And we've got another friend that's going to be staying in our flat as well, possibly. He might be staying at yours again tonight. I don't know the rules.
Yeah, it's all a bit
it's
up
a free-for-all.
Really.
But yeah, so we've got friends visiting. We're going to have a good time tonight, hopefully. Stressful week this week I've had. So yes. Yeah, it's been very busy, very stressful.
You need to de-stress, my friend.
Oh, I shall tonight. That's the plan.
We enforce de-stressing,
yeah. You're kind of like just like an American friend. Just do it, will you?
Just de-stress now.
Just de-stress.
Relax. Organized fun. But of course, now that we've got another new person visiting the house, you know what that means.
Oh, we've got the rule.
Another rule.
Oh, God. Right. Do you want to explain the literal house rule that you have
for new
visitors?
So at mine and my housemate's house, we have a rule for anyone new who visits. And unfortunately, anyone else who happens to be in the house at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So a few years ago, I was given a bottle of an alcohol. To this day, no one's quite sure what it is. It's from Bulgaria. And it was given to me by a work colleague who said he was going to get me this Bulgarian drink when he went home. And then he just comes back into the office one day and just hands me this black paper bag and just goes, as promised, and walks off. And it's this stuff. And it's not good.
No, it's not good.
But any new person who visits the house must go through the rite of passage of having a shot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awful.
Yeah, it's
everyone
not great.
Everyone else who's in the house must join them in a sort of weird camaraderie effect. But that's going to be happening.
So that's going to be happening tonight.
Got that to look forward to.
Great. It ended so well last time.
Oh, yes.
We've got an email here from Garrett Porter, who says, hey, Pete and his new assistant.
Wow. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I'm reading the email. Don't blame me. I'm writing from San Antonio, Texas. My name is Garrett, and listening to you guys gets me through the workday. Automotive technician. I've been listening since before Luke, but hadn't really shown my support yet. Well, that has changed. I'm now driving around, spreading the good word. Hope you have a great week. And what match in all of existence would you recommend someone to watch? Support WrestleTalk. So quickly, before you answer that question, we've got a picture attached to it having the WrestleTalk logo on the side of his truck. It's Support WrestleTalk.
That's a vinyl
on the side of his truck, which is
Garrett,
awesome.
You are a hero.
Garrett knows how to support WrestleTalk
really
in
does.
The best way.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that, Garrett. I nearly just destroyed the set while we were doing that. I just backed up and I almost just smashed the 100,000 subscriber plaque that you get from YouTube.
Oh, you can't do that.
Imagine
that's not good.
But answering your question, what match in all of existence would you recommend someone to watch? I'd say something that I think is easy to grasp for any new wrestling fan, mm-hmm. or someone that is introduced to wrestling, or someone that likes wrestling, I'd say would be Bayley versus Sasha Banks from NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 1. I think that's a very easy story to follow. You get it from the video package. You don't have to have like this pre-existing knowledge of wrestling beforehand. And the story within the match is great. Finish is great. It's a really feel-good match. I think that's an amazing match that anyone who's interesting or new to wrestling should watch.
That's a very good one. See, I was also pipping towards NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I was thinking of gives existing fans of wrestling just something new to watch with a storyline that they can get behind. It gives new fans, even if they don't know the wrestlers involved, it gives them, they will get the idea of the importance of both people involved, both for the newness factor of one of them, and how important this guy was to the brand at the time,
mm-hmm.
which is Zayn Nakamura.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and again, very easy story to follow. There's a video package right beforehand that explains everything you need to know.
Precisely.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's perfect.
I would give an honorary shout-out to one I really like, which mm-hmm. is, it's one of the best examples for me of someone getting someone else over.
Yeah.
Which is Taker versus Hardy.
Okay.
And that ladder match, which was just, it not necessarily the making of Jeff Hardy, but it was just the whole thing of Taker is beating him down and he is not giving up.
Yeah.
It's just the ultimate just plucky underdog. That moment where he's being beaten down, he's just on his knees and he just starts hitting and hitting and hitting and pounding on him and beating on him. And Taker just knocks him down with one punch.
Yeah.
But he's just sort of sitting there stunned, just like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
And there's like just like a Hail Mary whisper in the wind mm-hmm. and the bit at the end where he's like, I'm still standing. It's beautiful.
Awesome. Great shout. But that will do it for the first part of this. Let's get into the main portion of the show where we're going to be reviewing SmackDown. And this is a bit of a reach, but is Kofi Kingston turning heel? Here's the show. Kofi Kingston is probably not turning heel, but I needed a good title, okay?
Yeah.
Give me this one. Nothing happened on this show. So, the New Day are getting ready for their match later on the night on SmackDown.
Yes, they're having a little sing-song.
Having a little sing-song. They're having an eight-man tag match. They're teaming up with Heavy Machinery to take on the Revival and Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Tag Team.
Just the best name for a tag team.
I love that tag team name. So the New Day are there, just like singing a song. Biggie saying he doesn't want children or something.
Yeah, they're jamming out. He's got a really lovely baritone.
He has a great voice. And he's they're having a good time. In comes Tucker from Heavy Machinery, just plunks a table down. And he says, you know, at Crown Jewel, we're going to be in the largest tag team turmoil match, which is, lest we forget, the largest tag team turmoil match to determine the World Cup of the best tag team in the world. I think that's the official title.
You're just going to, like, get things that are more and more words now. Last time it was the Bailey Buddies.
Yep.
This time it's this abomination of a title.
Wacky Waving Inflatable Arm Flailing Tube, Ben.
That's the one.
Yeah.
This time it's this monstrosity of a title for a
title with 18 words in it.
Where does it go from here?
I don't know. It's going to be the largest tag team turmoil match to determine the World Cup of the best tag team in the world at the international event known as Crown Jewel.
In Saudi Arabia.
In Saudi Arabia. No, never mentioned that.
Oh, no, of course not.
Where's this event taking place? Who knows? Anyway, somewhere. Tucker comes in and he says, at Crown Jewel, we're going to be taking part in the largest tag team turmoil match, etc. But tonight, we're going to be teaming together. So I thought we'd try and build a little bit of camaraderie, and we'll try and lift your spirits, Kofi, from losing the heavyweight title, which was great because that's the first time that's been mentioned since he lost the title.
It's just not been mentioned on camera. We've spoken about this before, and I wasn't expecting it to come from Tucker.
No, that's true.
Of all people, just to pluck him out of the air to mention the title. And we're thinking, great, it's finally been mentioned. Now, finally, Kofi is going to address this. Oh, no. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Swerved.
He says, uplift my spirits. Man, no. Come on, man. I got the power of positivity. Man, that's all I need. And the first time I heard that, I went, ugh.
As did I.
Come on. Because, like, we've been waiting for some sort of catharsis for Brock beating Kofi, and we really haven't got anything yet, and it just seems like Kofi doesn't care.
Yeah, it's almost like it never happened.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or like he's trying to make it seem like it never happened.
Exactly.
He's not addressed it, he's not come out to the WWE universe and talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Yeah. But then I went on Reddit. I went to the Squared Circle on Reddit, and a few people have pointed out that Kofi squeezed the pancake, and I was like, say what? How's that relevant? So I went back and watched the clip again, and actually, this might be a really subtle moment from Kofi. Credit to WWE, if this is what they intended, this could be an amazing little tease of what's to come.
If this is what they intended, then that I will be lost for words. I will eat your hat.
I'd rather you didn't. I like my hat.
It's been said now. It's canon. I have many. I can give you a spare. It's fine.
Cool. So as Kofi is saying that line about uplifting spirits, I don't need it. I've got the power of positivity. He's got pancakes in his hands because that's what he does. As he's saying it, he clenches his fists, squeezes these pancakes into tiny little pieces, like really like white knuckling his fists as he comes in. He's really squeezing that as he's saying the line. Mm. So you could read it as he's just saying it, which is what I thought at first. But you could read it that he's got this kind of internal struggle and he's not addressing how he's actually feeling and he's masking the anger that he's got.
He's
just saying, oh yeah, power of positivity, I'm fine, when he's not fine.
Yeah.
So maybe this could be leading, not necessarily even to a heel turn, it just fits on the title better.
Yeah.
Could be a heel turn. It could be him leaving the New Day. It could be him just kind of rethinking about his character. It could be lots of things. But I thought it was a really, really interesting thing to point out because I was like, I didn't even notice it at first. That's how subtle this was.
And it's not the kind of thing we've seen from them. Like, yes, it could be just a kind of, I'm hyped up, etc. Thor, another kind of deal.
Another! Yeah. Yes.
But we haven't seen... I never thought I'd say this sentence in my life. Mm-hmm. We haven't really seen the New Day squishing their pancakes before.
Yeah, that's true. And they're pretty sacred. They flipped out. Yeah. When people have, like, thrown over... Yeah, when people have, like, thrown over their tray of pancakes, they've been like, yeah, guys, they're my pancakes. They're sacred.
They throw them out, but they're whole. And this is, like... I don't want to pay too much credence to it.
I know. I really don't want to believe it.
In my head, and every single time the New Day come out, I'm going to be zoning in on the pancakes.
Yes. I'm going to be zoning in on Kofi. It's like, what's Kofi doing? Is he smiling?
On his hands.
And on his hands, yeah. So I don't know where this is going. And realistically, I don't think this means anything.
Realistically, it's not going anywhere.
Realistically, it's going nowhere. And even if it was going somewhere, that doesn't mean it's going to be followed up next week.
Of course.
So I don't think there's actually that much credence to be lent to it. Mm. However, I like speculating.
I love a bit of speculation.
Yeah, and I enjoy speculating about it. So if, let's say, that this is Kofi bottling up his true feelings, he's really angry about losing the title,
yeah,
and maybe he holds some sort of resentment to the power of positivity because it's not working, he can't just be positive. He lost the WWE Championship that means so much to him. Maybe he wants to leave the New Day.
Yeah.
And he go alone as a single star. I mean, he's the one that won the WWE Championship. He's the one that had Kofi Mania. He's the one that wants to go back and find that single success that he never had properly until the WWE Championship run. And then maybe just leaving Woods and E as their own tag team. Not necessarily turning heel, but just being like, guys, I can't do this positivity stuff anymore. It's just not me right now. And he goes away for a bit, finds a new character, comes back as like this new single star.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be cool.
It'd be a nice take on it.
It would be a really nice way to make the Brock Lesnar squash mean something.
Yeah, it finally gives it some kind of meaning. And you could almost then forgive the lack of attention it's been paid since it happened.
Exactly. Because then it would make story sense.
Exactly. It's been, he's deliberately been not paying it any heed because, oh, my friends are here. They're being positive. I need to be positive too. You know? Push it down.
Push it down.
Push down.
Don't
the
address
feelings.
The feelings. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people that can relate to that feeling a lot.
Yes, absolutely.
Of just bottling up your feelings and not talking about it. It's one of the most common things, especially with like mental illnesses and stuff, and not talking to your friends and not seeing, you know, therapists and all that stuff. I'm not saying it's as deep as that, but just in general, that feeling of not expressing yourself and not opening up your feelings is something that a lot of people could relate to. So that could make for a really sympathetic babyface for Kofi, and not necessarily a heel turn at all, but just him just being like, I can't open up about my feelings. Everyone's like, I feel you, man.
Yeah.
I feel you with your feelings. Poor choice of words. Anyway, but yeah, or this could be a heel turn. This could be him holding resentment against Big E and Woods for not, like, addressing the loss, for them not, you know, at least on, I'm sure in real life they have addressed it and spoke about it. But I think on camera, they've not spoken about his loss at all. They're just like, oh, that happened.
Mm.
Power of positivity.
Yeah.
So maybe Kofi is holding some resentment to them and he's going to almost take it out on them.
And indeed holding resentment possibly to the rest of the locker room. I remember when he was getting there and fighting his way in the background. So many people in the locker room supporting Kofi.
Yeah.
Where, you know, maybe holding resentment to them for not trying to help him.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways this can go.
Yeah.
And almost none of them are going to happen.
Of course.
But like, I think it's one of the best talking points of this show because nothing happened. But also, it would be an interesting talking point even if this was a jam-packed show because this is something that's subtle and good storytelling, which is something we don't see very often in WWE, which is one of the main reasons I find it so hard to believe that's what they wanted to do.
Exactly.
But if they did intend this, massive credit to them because this is really, really interesting. If they follow it, if there's a little something next week and you see Kofi just like smiling power of positivity and Big E and Woods walk off and he just goes, I'm going to be like, oh, yeah. It's the thing, it's happening,
it's happening. All over it.
Oh yeah, all over it. And then we'll be like, I told you so, etc. For all the people in the chat that are saying clickbait, etc.
Uh-huh.
It has a question mark. It's a question. We're speculating. That's the point. Anyway.
Hold my back.
But yeah, and then the rest of the segment, Kofi says that line, and they're just like, we're having fun. In comes Otis.
The savior of SmackDown.
The savior of SmackDown. Otis comes in.
Literally, one of my favorite things about SmackDown right now is Otis.
Honestly, there's not much to like, so it's a low bar, but he's very much
way above it. He comes in mostly naked under a rather suggestive apron, because why not? I like to think that was his decision.
Yeah.
I like to think that's what he wears around the house, you know, maybe.
Just comes in with some pancake batter.
Big bowl of pancake batter. And drinks it.
Yep. Tucker just goes, you know what this needs? Protein powder. Yep. Let's go. Pours a load of protein powder in it, and then everyone's like, guys, hold up. And then it's just like, ah, more for me then. Gets it, like loads dripping down his beard. Yep. Oh, he's hilarious. Otis
is wonderful.
He's fantastic. That didn't really play anything into the Kofi stuff, but we just wanted to mention that so we don't have to talk about that segment later.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
We've got extra special thank yous to our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. So if you haven't visited our Patreon yet, patreon.com/WrestleTalk, you can pledge to us a monthly amount. You get all sorts of extra stuff, extra bonus content, and if you pledge at the $25 amount or more, you get your name in a special wrestling gimmick type name read out on this very show. Exactly. So thank you to Nate Dropped Surname.
Yes, Nate.
Thank you.
Xandermania Running Wild.
Oh yeah.
Woohoo!
Xandermania. Alex the Rojas. Johnson!
Well done. Love it. Thank you. Big fan. Marcus, he's got Sol Campbell.
It's a football joke. We love it. Don't have a Shane Cowley, man. It's good. Simpsons reference. Like it.
Roman Sparks.
Roman Sparks. Ooh, are indeed. The big dog.
The big dog.
The Titan, Owen Towers. Woo-hoo. Like Titan love Towers. It. Like
yes,
it.
Yes, absolutely. The real boss. Matt Robinson.
It's boss time, everyone.
It's boss time.
Just Incredible Edelheit.
Lovely.
Very good. Thank you.
Just Incredible.
It is.
Salutations, Josh Salome.
Very good.
Love it.
Very good. The Jester, Ryan Kester.
Love it.
Very good name. Thank you.
Bailey Sting, number 2 fan.
Well, hopefully they like Bailey now. It's as close as you're going to get. Ari, the Boozerweight Feldberg.
Love it.
Great name. Thank you.
The Raven, Chris Alexander.
Woo!
Love it.
Fantastic. Great stuff. The real Ollie Davis.
What?
I don't think he's real, but thank you nonetheless. Oh, yeah. Real Ollie Davis.
Never wrong, Tyler Wright.
Hey, very good.
Wonderful, good stuff.
Thank you very much, everyone, for your support on Patreon. We're going to get on to some super chats right now. So we're going to have some Matthew Robinson comes in to say, Kofi turning heel by himself would be nice as a group would be predictable. I agree. Yeah, because everyone's either predicting a Big E heel turn because he's big.
Yep.
Literally in the name. Or like a whole group heel turn. So I think subverting that, having like Woods or Kofi go heel would be a nice subversion of expectations, I'd say.
I agree.
Zach Icon Littner said, Kofi looks disgruntled. Big E heel turn confirmed. You know it. It's a meme.
Big eel.
Isaiah Kinnard. Isaiah Kinnard said, Kofi is tired of not being in reality. He'll snap. That is honestly a great shout. Yeah. He's tired of being this happy-go-lucky, just like, almost. It would be like Bailey's promo later in the night, but better.
Yes.
Because he's like, I'm sick of having this power of positivity. It's just, you know, it's covering up all of these feelings that I'm actually feeling. This isn't real life.
I would even probably, like, if this is to happen, like, the moment he snaps, that's going to be akin to, like, Becky turning when she did.
That's
going to be major.
Mm-hmm. If they treat it as such.
When it happens, if it happens.
Yes. No, when it happens. This when is canon happens. Now. We're the authority on what happens. Oh, yes. And we know that WWE watches our shows.
Yeah,
and absolutely. They get all our ideas from us. So this is actually happening now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do one or two miscellaneous ones for now. Matthew Robinson again said, with both Miz and Daniel Bryan as both not heels for the first time ever, which kicks are better? Yes or it kicks?
Ooh.
Yes kicks. Come on.
I think it's probably fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Mark Flay just says, glad I quit after the Brock S-word and the Hell in a Cell S-word. AEW all the way. Thanks for watching so I don't have to. Don't blame you.
We are taking this bullet for you, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. And, please keep watching our content. It helps. Please. Thanks. Let's get on to the main show. So, the show opened up with a pre-announced match of Roman Reigns versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
This match came out of nowhere.
Yes, just from nothing, let's kick off the show with a title defense.
Yes, which is cool.
Yep.
Also, Nakamura's been feuding with, like, Ali. Why Reigns for the IC title is a bit weird, but...
Yeah, it was a slightly odd decision, but we'll get on to some potential reasons why.
They did cover it in the match, in fairness. One thing I do want to mention, the side graphic, when people come out, they have their graphics and their, you know, their accolades on the side on SmackDown. The side graphic for Shinsuke said that he speaks both English and Japanese. It's like, stop breaking kayfabe! He no speak English, remember? That's the whole thing. Come on, WWE.
It's like they don't even know what they're doing.
I know. Sami Zayn's on commentary for this match, which is a delight.
Like, I was saying to you earlier, like, what I love so much about this is that Shinsuke comes out and Sami is so much more excited for his matches than Shinsuke is.
Yes.
He is. It's like he's wrestling. He's bouncing around like he always used to in his little beanie.
Mm-hmm.
Just so overjoyed. He's just happy to be there.
Yeah. So happy to be there.
And yeah, he was on commentary and he was wonderful.
He was wonderful on commentary.
I liked him before when he was in the neck brace, when he was at ringside with the mic. That was good. Him on commentary, I think, like I was saying to you, reminds me very much of The Miz when Alex Riley was wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And The Miz would be on commentary properly bigging him up all the time, no matter what happens, putting down his opponents. And Sammy's doing exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And doing it really well.
And he's hilarious as well.
He really
Sammy's
is.
Sammy's so funny.
He's fantastic.
Sammy does a very good job of putting over the fact that Shinsuke is very disgruntled with Roman. Because he's saying that Roman got picked first in the draft, and he's used that as to worm his way into an opportunity for himself for the Intercontinental Championship.
Exactly.
Which, one, makes the draft feel important.
Yep.
Which is good. And two, actually makes sense.
Yes.
First draft pick going for a title.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. Like that. Mm-hmm. Commentary, I wasn't really listening to every word the commentary says because a lot of it's Michael Cole.
Yeah.
A lot of it's white noise at this point.
Yeah, so you sort of zone out.
They somehow link that with King Corbin or something. Maybe said something on Twitter.
Yeah.
Corbin, I can't remember.
Corbin had words with Reigns on social media about, he was saying like that Roman would be sorry for what The Rock did to him because, you know, The Rock and the Roman.
Yep. I mean, they are cousins, but like,
yeah.
I don't know. If we had a falling out, I wouldn't start targeting your mum. Like, I have a problem with the person, not the person's family. I don't know. They tried to link it. They tried.
We're going to have issues, and one day I'm just going to bludgeon your second cousin with a crowbar. Not really how it works.
There was one spot in this match where Roman goes for the drive-by kick on the side, yeah. And Sammy pulled Shinsuke out of the way.
Yeah.
Isn't that a DQ?
Well, you'd have thought so, because unless the ref didn't see it, except he was directly watching
it. And, like, he didn't even throw out Sammy. Like, when there's interference, sometimes the ref could be like, I won't DQ you, but you're rejected kind of thing. Yeah. He was like, no, it seems perfectly fine.
And I get that Sammy is kind of healing it up a little
bit. Referee stoppage should have been.
But it was just like, the referee is directly watching. Sammy pulls him out of the way and then goes back with his hands raised. Like,
yeah,
no,
he's like, I didn't do anything. Like,
very, very clearly did.
Ref
entirely
was watching.
Entirely clearly did.
It's fine. Not the biggest deal in the world. This match was fine. I thought it was pretty good. There was a really nice spot, I thought, where Roman went for a Superman punch. Shinsuke caught it and rolled through straight into an armbar.
Straight into an armbar.
That looked rad.
And then he moved that into a triangle.
Moved that into a triangle.
As well, which, is nice.
Which was rad. And that's at the point.
I wish we hadn't said it.
Where Roman powers up, as he normally does, lifts up the triangle into a powerbomb. And Michael Cole.
No, don't do it.
Michael Cole says,
Don't do it.
That's called Big Dog Strong.
I hate everything about that.
It's so bad.
It's the worst.
It's so bad. You guys have no idea.
Just when you think Michael Cole couldn't get necessarily any worse, he brings that one back out.
It's the Big Dog and It's Boss Time are pretty bad. That's called Big Dog Strong, I think, is worse.
Yes.
That's really bad. That's really, really bad. Roman goes for another Superman punch. Sammy gets involved. Shinsuke hits one of the sliding German suplexes off the side, channeling his inner Taiji Ishimori, which is awesome. He goes for a Kinshasa, goes into a Superman punch for a near fall. Roman is oohing up for a spear, and then out of nowhere comes King Corbin with his scepter and just goes bonk, DQ.
Yep.
All right.
Which, you know,
bit disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't particularly rooting for Roman to win or anything, but, like, I wanted a finish.
It would have been nice to finally have a finish in a match.
Yeah.
It seems like it's been a while.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's so weird. And then afterwards, Corbin, which I guess, you know, they believe that everyone checks their social media because that's now canon. Corbin then hits a deep six on Roman, and it looks like they're going to continue beating him down with Sammy and Shinsuke as well.
But then...
And then... Daniel Bryan.
Etc.
Yep. Daniel Bryan comes out for the save.
Yep.
Beats up Corbin and Shinsuke. Then Bryan goes for a dive, but Sammy grabs the leg, holds onto him in place, and Shinsuke hits a Kinshasa onto Daniel Bryan. And then they all walk off. The heels walk off, being like, hey, we're heels. That's what they do.
Why are they all from New York?
Hey, we're heels, you know? I thought this was fine.
Yeah.
I don't really know why Daniel Bryan and Roman are still together when Eric Rowan and Luke Harper are now not the threat anymore.
Yeah.
Because they've gone to Raw and stuff, so, like, I don't know why they're still together, but...
Yeah, like they were saying before, it was an unlikely alliance to begin with.
Yeah.
But the fact that it's continued is
now
baffling.
Makes it a likely alliance. Possibly.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't know what they're planning. Caleb Braxton's backstage asking if Baron Corbin has anything to say about Roman Reigns. And he goes... Puts his crown on, and then walks off.
I quite like that, to be honest.
I didn't. I thought it was a waste of time. But
I won't deny that.
Yeah.
It was a waste of time. I did have a little chuckle about it.
Fair.
He was like, you're not worth my time.
See, I didn't even get that from that. It wasn't even like, you're not worth my time. I just thought he was just like, I actually don't have anything to say about Roman, so...
Could be that
Peace
too.
Out! And then walked off. It was
almost like the storyline hasn't been thought through very well.
They're like, right, we've got like 30 seconds we need to fill on this show. Kayla, ask Baron a question and then he won't answer it. Okay, sure. But then we got a video package that highlighted all of Shorty Gable, all of the people that have called him short, basically.
Yes, which is many.
It is a lot of people, surprisingly. Mm. I was surprised at how many people have made short jokes about him, because I thought this was a, you know, quite a recent thing. But no, it's actually gone back quite a bit. A lot of people calling him short.
Yeah.
Still doesn't make it any better, but,
no,
you know.
No, this is true.
And then we have Shorty Gable versus...
Oh, I mean, this is the thing, though. When you've been put down... I'm not going to make a joke about that. So put down by people about your height, and you want to bounce back with a really high-profile match, who do you fight? Curtis Axel. Oh, yes.
Yep. Shorty Gable versus Curtis Axel. The crowd went silent for this one.
Never have I heard a better use of "and the crowd goes mild."
Yeah. They weren't very into this.
No, it didn't. No stakes.
Until, like, the last 15 seconds, I think, there was a nice little roll-up that Gable did from the corner, which crowd went, ooh,
at.
And then he kicked out of that, and then he rolled through into an ankle lock, and the crowd went, hey, it's an ankle lock. We know that. Yeah. And then Curtis Axel tapped.
Yeah.
Lasted about 2 minutes. It was fine.
The first thing Axel did was just pat him on the head.
Yeah. That's nice.
And then he tapped
out. Are they
out.
Heels?
Do we care?
Better question.
Does anyone?
Do we care? No.
I was surprised to see them. I didn't know they were really still there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Another line from Michael Cole here. That's the thing about Gable. He wins.
He just wins.
What? I mean, he didn't at Hell in a Cell.
No, he doesn't just win. You can't say that about him when he doesn't.
He did win at Hell in a Cell, and then he lost on Raw or whatever it was. But whatever. He just lost to Corbin.
Yeah, he doesn't just win, though. You know, you can't big him up. I've written down he's clearly the new John Cena.
Yeah, he just wins, you know?
Maybe they're
building... Gable wins, LOL.
They're building to that torch pass at WrestleMania. John Cena passes his torch to Shorty Gable. Or should we say... Do you want to do it, or shall I? They've got to know.
Let's do it. Okay, Caleb Braxton's in the ring. Says congratulations to Gable. And says everyone's been making height jokes. Despite her being, like, a foot shorter than Gable.
Yep.
Could have got anyone else to do this interview. Come on, get Todd Phillips to do this one.
It's quite a nice sort of heartening pep talk from Gable.
Mm.
Like, it went on longer than the match did, but it was all about, like, you know, how bullies make us better. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm bettering myself because you're trying to overshadow me and push me down, but I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm going to take that and I'm going to turn it inwards and I'm going to be better for it, which is nice.
It's nice. It was just like, you know, everyone should be, you should accept who you are.
Exactly.
I am accepting who I am and you should never change for anyone. And I was like, these are good lessons to learn.
Yeah.
Poorly scripted.
Very poorly scripted and very, very telegraphed.
Very telegraphed. Poorly delivered, I'd say
Yes, absolutely.
Wasn't great. And then he says, Shorty Gable, let's shorten that. Call me Shorty G. Shorty G.
Shorty G.
Has happened. It's here.
This is now canon.
Shorty G's here. I don't know how to feel about it.
I feel sorry for the people who do all the TitanTron stuff.
Yeah, they've got to change it all the time.
It's been a week and they're like, what, again?
So, yeah, Shorty G is here. Chad Gable, Shorty G.
Remember American Alpha.
Oh my god!
How good were they?
Ready, willing, and G. Oh, it's bad.
I really can't do the Gable chants anymore. Just
no.
G.
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 G. G. G. God, it's bad. I don't like Shorty G, but hey, hopefully this will get him over. I don't think it will.
Yeah.
Next, we get an old man using technology. We've got Hulk Hogan on Skype, everyone, with a poor connection. And he's from Florida, which looked like a WWE set in the background. Unless his living room looks exactly like the merch tables they use.
I could believe it.
Yeah, true. Could totally believe it. And they get an announcement. They're saying that, obviously, Seth Rollins has been pulled from Team Hogan, which is announced on Thursday, saying that he, you know, he has to focus on Bray Wyatt because he's got a Universal title match.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, you know what, brother, etc. Shorty G and Ali are going to be on Team Hogan.
Good to know.
Okay.
Grand.
Cool.
Why not?
And he said there's going to be a new team captain announced by the end of the show. And I wrote here, which will probably be Reigns.
Yeah.
Who else is it going to be, really? If they're replacing Rollins, who do you think it's going to be?
Yeah.
This was a bad segment. Yeah. I'm really not invested in Hogan ever anymore.
No, not at all. He said brother 4 times in his first 2 sentences. I counted.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Brother.
Many times. I stopped counting when I got to 4.
Yeah, fair.
There were others.
Yeah. I still can't believe that's a match that's actually happening at Crown Jewel, this Team Hogan, Team Flair thing. It's crazy. but yeah, Shorty Giannale, you're on Team Hogan.
Good for them.
Good to know. And then we get the 8-man tag match.
Yes.
Of the New Day and Heavy Machinery versus Revival and Rudolph, the Red Nose Tag Team.
Yep.
This is absolutely a pet peeve and a nitpick that I'm about to make, and I know I nitpick a lot. This one I think is justified. So, it's not even this match. I'm coming to it later. I'm getting way ahead of myself. It's a different match entirely.
You're advanced nitpicking.
I'm advanced nitpicking. I'll come to it later.
We'll get there.
I'll get to that bit later, but
a nitpick is coming. Onto this match, the actual match we're supposed to be talking about, Pete.
I'm sorry. Getting ahead of myself.
Otis's dancing to the trombone is kind of disturbing.
A little bit, isn't it?
There's altogether, for a man of that build, with, you know, the whole no neck and his arms always out, mm-hmm. like he's carrying sheep under each arm.
Yeah.
Altogether too much thrusting. Big fan of Otis.
Name your sex tape.
Oh, Lord. Oh, dear. Altogether too much thrusting.
Oh, we're getting derailed here.
Yeah, right.
Michael Cole officially says, this is the A show, the blue brand.
Mm-hmm.
It's official now, guys.
It's canon.
SmackDown is the A show. Did you know Revival is still on?
I've got it written down.
Revival are the SmackDown Tag Team Champs, guys.
Still. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
And also, of course, I've got it actually written down here so I can say it right. They are competing in the largest tag team turmoil match to determine the World Cup for the best tag team in the world.
Wonderful.
Doesn't even make grammatical sense.
No.
this match was fine.
Yeah, but I just got, oh look, Kofi isn't fighting.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Maybe that's playing into his heel turn.
You're going to keep going with
that.
That's
a reach.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. This match was fine. There wasn't anything too crazy about this match. It was pretty formulaic. Faces kind of went on top to start with, and then heels came back during the ad break. Faces came back afterwards.
Plucky sort of comebacks from like Woods.
Plucky comeback. And then the finish happens.
I mean, I did enjoy, like, you have like Woods, who's been beaten down, and he's Plucky going for it, and the heels take out the guys on the apron. Mm-hmm. And just, I never thought that Woods tagging in Otis would be the hottest tag I've seen ever.
It was a very hot tag.
It was such a hot tag. The hottest of tags I have written down.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty good.
And that's something I liked about this one. Like, I'm sort of bigging up Otis here. I'm a big fan of Otis. He looked really good.
He did, didn't he?
He looked very strong.
And then I've written down one note. Rude hits Otis and he gyrates. That's pretty much it. Rude went in, started punching him, and Otis was just like, nope, I'm going to start dancing and gyrating and thrusting.
Yeah,
like,
that's okie exactly
dokie.
What it is.
Sure thing. He's fun. He's really, really fun to watch. Unlike all the times at the comments you go, these guys, so fun to watch. Actually,
Otis is actually
fun to watch.
Otis is very good fun.
Another line from Michael Cole in this match.
Yeah.
Talking about Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, this was brilliant. This was unbelievable.
It seems like he's in the peak of his career right now.
I mean, firstly, no. And secondly, he had just listed off a massive list of his former and better accomplishments than being where he is now, which is not a champion.
Former 2-time world champion, former Mr. Money in the Bank, former tag team champion, former IEC champion, former US champion. Think of him in the peak of his career right now, teaming with Robert Roode, losing to Heavy Machinery in the New Day.
Yes.
Good job, Cole.
That is peak WWE career.
Yep.
Right.
Good job, Cole. Otis hits a caterpillar. which was fun. They attempt to go for the compactor at the win, but they get interrupted. Otis manages to put Dawson in a suplex position. Big E makes a tag, takes Dawson from the suplex position onto his shoulders, and Nudie. Name your sex tape.
Why?
Nudie, I don't know. And then, New Day hit the midnight hour for the win.
Yes, absolutely. It was fine. There was quite a good moment of commentary, I think, from Corey, possibly, when shortly before Otis ruined Dawson, I think it was, Dawson was going for a vertical suplex on Otis, and he's just like, this isn't going to work.
Nope. Absolutely not. We get the announcement that King Corbin and Shinsuke Nakamura versus Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan is going to be the main event of tonight's show.
Yes.
Which I thought was weird. It's like, you'd build that to next week's show, because it wasn't like the Roman Reigns Shinsuke match went 2 minutes and it got interrupted. It wasn't like there wasn't a match. That was a full match.
Exactly.
That almost had a finish before Corbin interrupted.
Mm.
So I'd say, like, you know, I probably would have put that next week, because then you have two Shinsuke Roman matches in the same night, which I feel like is a little bit of overkill. But
especially since Seth has to be removed from Team Hogan, because can't do two matches in one night.
Can't do two matches in one night.
On the same show as these two have two matches in one night.
Admittedly, I will say, it's got a match against The Fiend. So hopefully that means...
Yes.
That's a big match. That's a match that's going to be taxing. So, you know, rather than a match against your Intercontinental Champion, which won't be taxing at all.
Hopefully, yeah. A taxing match, and hopefully, unlike Hell in a Cell, not taxing to watch.
Yeah, ideally. Yes, it was. Kayla Braxton is... Kayla Braxton was the star of this show.
So
she was all over the place. Yeah. She's backstage with Daniel Bryan. She said, how does getting beaten down affect your mindset? And he basically just said, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Been beaten down loads before. I'm going to go beat people up.
Yeah, fair.
I will respond to that with...
Can't argue with that.
Yep. We got a video package for Ali.
Yes.
She's good now that he's on Team Hogan. It was fine.
Him being on Team Hogan wasn't addressed.
Yep.
Really. He just kind
commentators just kind of went, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Ali's on Team Hogan, guys.
He's just there for about a minute and a half or 2 minutes or something.
It was fine.
Yeah.
We then get Miz TV with Bayley and Sasha Banks. Yes. It was just to be for Bayley, but then Sasha Banks came with her. New entrance music for Bayley.
Yeah, we probably get to hear it.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I'm undecided. I wasn't immediately drawn to it like I am for a lot of themes.
Yeah.
I think it will grow on me in time. I think it's just such a stark contrast to the Bayley that I knew before that I'm having a hard time adjusting to this new Bayley.
Yeah.
But I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's all right, yeah. I think it will grow on me.
Hmm.
But it didn't immediately call to me.
Didn't immediately get you.
Yeah. What about you?
Really liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah, actually really liked it. And also on the Titantron, very different, of course.
Yep.
It's all like sort of edgy
and
flamey and metallic and stuff. All those kind of things you associate with heels. Fire and metal.
Yes, fire and metal, yes.
But yeah, I actually really like the music, to be honest.
I think it's cool. It's a nice addition to a character.
Yeah.
It's a nice layer on it, which is cool. We got Miz throws to a video recap of what happened last week with the Wacky Wave and Inflatable Arm Flailing Tube Man. I'm going to try and say that faster and faster each time I say it.
I will be timing you.
Okay, cool. Oh my God, I forgot about this. I totally forgot about this until I just read my note. During this video recap of her slashing the Bayley buddies, it pans to someone's house. Just someone's random house pans away from the TV, and there's just a kid just crying. It's like, who is this?
I know that there was a whole thing about... I think that was the one that was probably posted on Twitter, because there was a whole thing about how she'd made a kid cry on social media.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Clearly that was it, but we had no context to it.
No, absolutely
zero.
It was just
a home video that zoomed around to this crying child, and then went back to her messing up her friend.
Immediately went back to the actual thing.
That was weird.
With no context, it was hilarious in the worst way. In the worst way, I want to point that
correct.
Out. Yeah.
I liked, some of the rest of the editing I quite liked with them.
Oh, yeah.
The music fading
out,
but keeping on going back to There Ain't No Stopping Us Now was very nice. Nice touch. And I also really liked, as they get to the ring, and Miz is like, Sasha, didn't know you'd be here, but good to see you.
Yeah. Miz was fantastic in this
absolutely.
Segment. He was amazing.
He was on form.
There was another bit just on the video package front, just before we end that bit. They kept showing shocked fans throughout this video package, kind of interspersed with crowd shots, people going like, massive, like, shocked faces. And then she gets to a bit where she grabs the microphone and goes, "Hey, bitches!" And they show loads of shots of crowd being like, "Oh, no, she said bitch!
Oh, no, she didn't.
Oh, no, she didn't!" I was like, that's not the worst thing that happened here, guys. Come on now.
No.
After the video package, Miz just says, "So why?"
Yeah.
Why'd you
literally
do it?
Just why.
Bailey does, I was really annoyed at this at first, but luckily they actually answered the question because Bailey did the classic, "I don't owe you or anyone an explanation." I was like, okay, so you guys have no idea why and you're stalling for time.
Yeah.
But credit to WWE, they actually had an answer.
Yeah, and I also quite like Miz's response to that.
Yeah.
Which was, "A champion who doesn't talk, who are you, Brock Lesnar? Is this your Paul Heyman?"
Is this your Paul Heyman? Yeah.
Lovely.
So funny. Yeah, Miz had some great lines just kind of prodding away at Bailey.
Oh, yeah, constantly and saying, he's is it because you couldn't deal with the fact you're always playing second fiddle to Sasha?
Yeah, exactly. You're always going to be in like her that. Shadow. Yeah. It was amazing. Which eventually leads Bailey to actually give her answer.
Yes.
So Miz is a good interview host. Yay.
Yeah.
Miz TV was worth something.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Good job. yeah, so basically she said, "Well, what about me?" She said, "I was giving out all these high fives and hugs, and all they did was take. No one hugged me back when I needed them. I lost my title at Hell in a Cell. I was there crying. Who was there to help me? No one." It's like, Sasha Banks is right next to you.
Yeah.
Come on now.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, Sasha?
Sasha was there, probably. But then she was saying, you know, "I've outgrown them. I don't need you guys anymore." It was a kind of a classic, like, you people.
Yeah.
Promo.
Very much like that.
But I guess it made sense from her character before, was very much focused on the crowd and, you know, inspiring people, etc.
Yeah.
And then she goes, "Oh, you guys want some inspiration? Life sucks and then you die."
Which I feel like is a reference from somewhere.
It's just a phrase, isn't it, I think?
It could well be.
I feel like it's just a phrase that people have. Life sucks and then you die. It's just like a pessimistic phrase that some people use. It fits for the character.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about her saying it, but I guess it works. This was good, I thought, overall.
Creative looking at this going, can we do this with Kofi? Kind of similar to what we're speculating.
Copy. Paste.
Can I copy your homework? All right, but make it look good.
After she said that line, the crowd went, ooh. And that brought out Nikki Cross.
Woo!
Who
Sorry, I'm excited.
He's a big fan of Nikki Cross. We'll get into that in a second. Nikki does a cheap pop, which I really, really didn't like.
Good.
I'm here in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Actually did a thumbs up and a big chocolate win. Not great.
God. And then she says, the time for talking is done. The time for action is now. And she'll give Bailey a hug after the match. All right.
Hugs don't really sound threatening, however you use them.
Yeah, I know.
It didn't work.
Yeah, I know.
It didn't work, and it could have been so much better. But...
yeah, poor scripting. What can you do?
Yeah.
She tried, bless her.
Mm-hmm.
That brought out Dana Brooke.
Oh, she has one of my least favourite phrases. Flex appeal.
Honestly, I think if that's just a nickname, if she's like, I'm the flex appeal Dana Brooke, I think that's fine. It's not great, but it's fine. When she's like, I'm going to bring flex appeal to this match, that's when I'm like, okay, you lost me.
Yeah, and when she's saying it to the crowd and everything, like, show me.
Come on, guys, flex! I'm like, no.
We don't really want to.
I'd rather not.
We're fine as we are.
We're fine. But I will say, she delivered the promo pretty decently.
Yeah.
It was a very well-delivered promo from Dana Brooke. Again, not great scripting, not a huge fan of the flex appeal thing, but very well-delivered. Props where props are due.
Yeah.
That brought out Lacey Evans.
Yes.
Who said nothing and walked straight to the ring, and all three of them just went, okay, I guess we're having the match now.
And that was the end of Miz TV.
Yeah, and then we went to an ad break, and when we came back, everyone was in the ring.
Yeah, and Miz was gone somewhere.
Yep. He Thanos'd away. So yeah, and then after the ad break, it's the six-pack challenge that was pre-announced, and that is Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Nikki Cross, all competing for the number one contendership for the SmackDown Women's Championship that Bayley is holding.
Correct.
This was a fun match. I like this.
It was quite fun.
Yeah, I think the pace never really slowed down at all. It was kind of spot, which is quite fun.
I always quite like it when you've got a multi-person match and just the heel just immediately rolls out.
Yes, that's always fun, and I like the psychology of Rose and Deville just kind of teaming up on everyone early.
Exactly.
Made sense, and it was nice.
You always have in the back of your mind, because, you know, the commentators will not stop talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a six-pack challenge. it's only one winner. It's everyone for themselves.
Yep.
And obviously, Fire and Desire.
Fire and Desire,
They're just teaming. And you've always got in the back of your minds, I don't actually think it happens. Mm-hmm. You've always got in the back of your minds, only one of them can win.
Which exactly.
One's gonna turn on the other.
Yeah, it never happened in the course of the match, which is good. You don't really want that dissension between you if you're going to keep them together.
Yeah.
But then they had probably the best spot of the match happened in the ad break, which they showed us afterwards, which was a big kind of six-person triple suplex spot, which is fun, but we didn't really get to see it until replay.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. But then they did have some cool spots. They had, like, Dana Brooke taking out two people. Carmella did a big dive onto people. Nikki Cross did a big dive off the turnbuckle onto a load of people.
Nikki kind of used Carmella as a torpedo.
As a battering ram.
Yes, yeah. And then jumped on everyone.
And then jumped on everyone, which was fun.
Yeah.
Then we got like a load of signature moves in the ring. There was like Code of Silence from Carmella.
Yep.
Mandy Rose hit a running knee. There were super kicks from Carmella as well. Lacey Evans hit a woman's right. Yep. I used my left hand when I said women's right. Come on now, Pete. After that, Nikki hits a swinging neck breaker onto Mandy Rose for the win. Nikki Cross, new number one contender for Bayley.
I have decidedly mixed feelings about that.
Expand.
Because I am a big fan of Nikki Cross
mm-hmm.
as a wrestler since the days of NXT, where she was great.
Mm-hmm.
As part of Sanity, wonderful. On her own, when they moved up and she didn't, wonderful. Then she moves up and she was part of Sanity for a bit, which obviously, you know, they're doing well. and she kind of got shunted down to the mid-card stuff, you know. She had her wild moments. And then teaming with Alexa Bliss was great, but it's diluting her. I think we talked about this earlier. It's diluting the crazy.
Yes.
Which was kind of part of the appeal. Like, she always had this sort of wild fight your corner style, which is grand and something that's a little bit missing. But now the whole crazy thing that was part of what made her great is gone.
Yeah.
And I just don't like the fact that they're feeding her to heel Bayley so early.
I don't mind it. I think Nikki Cross is a solid first few for Bayley because I think Bayley has more, not necessarily more to offer because I think Nikki Cross is fantastic.
Mm.
But I'd say I think Bayley right now is the bigger and hotter star than Nikki Cross.
True.
So I think Bayley needs a feud where she can cement this character in and get across her new heel persona. And I think this is a solid feud to do so.
It's fine. It has to be against someone who is the up-and-coming face,
mm-hmm.
which is true, which is what Nikki is sort of working with.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be retroactively okay with it if it doesn't ruin Nikki.
Yes. Yeah. Because in an ideal world, they'll have a really good match at not Crown Jewel.
No.
Survivor Series, I guess. That's the next one after. And they'll have a really good match, and Bayley will win, keep her title, but Nikki will look great coming out of it.
Nikki will look great coming out of it. And hopefully we'll come back for more at another time.
Yes. Yes, that would be great.
I don't want it to just move her back into obscurity.
Yes.
That would be a shame.
Also, where was Alexa during this whole thing?
Yeah, she's just sipping pina coladas at the beach somewhere.
Disneyland, probably. She goes there all the time.
Yeah. Remember when they were a tag team?
Yeah.
Great times.
They got... Oh, blockbuster trade, by the way.
Of course, yes.
Back to SmackDown was Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
Mm.
So...
What a great...
Where's Alexa?
Trade.
Yes. For nothing, seemingly.
For the promise of getting something later. Why don't they just not make up their minds? Like, yeah, we'll give you these two. We just don't know what we want to return yet.
Yeah.
But we'll get back to you on that.
We'll get back to you, yeah.
Consult the war room. Which there was a distinct lack of this week, by the way.
We need more war rooms.
We really do.
One more line from Michael Cole in this match before we move on. Remember the great rivalry Lacey and Becky Lynch had over the summer? Please don't remind me.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Cole. We get a video package for Braun Strowman.
Yep.
Which was, again, fine.
Yeah.
It's just Braun going and hitting things.
Match flow thing. I don't know what it is, but yeah, we saw Strowman pushing things and pulling things.
Yep, and pulling things and hitting things.
And Strowmaning all over the place.
Strowmaning all over the place.
Title of his next
day. Hey! We get an ad break, and then we get a video package about the Rollins Fiend feud thus far, recapping Hell in a Cell and the burning of the Firefly Funhouse on Raw.
Uh-huh.
I hate being reminded of it. Hey-ho. And then, they announce... Falls Count Anywhere match at Crown Jewel, which we knew was happening for the Universal title, Seth Rollins versus The Fiend. They added a stipulation onto this match.
Yes, they did.
This match can't be stopped for any reason.
I didn't mean to sync up with you on that, but we did, and it was lovely. I'm glad we
shared. It was great.
Glad we shared that moment.
Harmonized. any reason, this match cannot be stopped. Okay, so first things first, it shouldn't be a stipulation on that anyway, because it's a falls count anywhere match. It shouldn't be stopped anyway.
Yeah. We'll get the obvious thing out
of the
way.
They shouldn't have that stipulation on it anyways, because that should be a given.
Yeah, you should.
You shouldn't be able to ruin Hell in a Cell match and then go, oh, but this one, guys, we won't ruin this one. Mm. Morons.
That was such vitriol.
I hate it so much. This match can't be stopped for any reason. Of course it can't. It's a bloody falls count anyway match. Anyway. And then we have the other side of this.
Yeah. Any reason.
Any reason.
Any reason.
This match can't be stopped.
I kind of want this to blow up in their face a little bit. I kind of want them to be forced to, because, like, an earthquake happens. The arena sets on fire. Panthers are released. I don't know. Anything like that. Pick your poison, whichever one you want. All three.
And the match actually has to be stopped.
Yeah.
And then they screw up the can't be stopped for any reason rule.
Exactly.
Be amazing. I mean, it wouldn't be amazing. It would be horrific. I'm not saying I want an earthquake to happen. That's awful.
It would be very sad, millions dead. But, you know, we're taking it to the extreme here. But
pinch yourself.
Because we like to do that.
Taken with that, but, oh man. Anyway, we then get Braun Strowman versus a local jobber. Oh, wait. Sorry.
It's
Drew Gulak.
He of a fantastic title run in the cruiserweight division.
Yep.
Really, really good title run. Actually very enjoyable. Defended it magnificently against many comers at many times.
Had some great matches on NXT with Kushida and Leo Rush. It was awesome.
Let's feed him to Braun.
Yep. Let's make him a comedy goof and bring back his PowerPoint presentations, which are long gone. Don't get me wrong.
They were fine.
Very funny.
Yes.
Love Gulak when he's doing the PowerPoint presentations. Make them as an actual gimmick, though. Make him still a good wrestler with that gimmick. Don't just make him a comedy goof who gets jobbed out to Braun. Because he's great.
Drew Gulak's fine. He's fantastic. He's better than fine. I don't know why I said fine.
He's great. But then the match starts and Gulak goes, hey, I'm a wrestling historian. And I know that if you go into your match...
A preeminent wrestling historian.
Preeminent wrestling historian. And he says, if you go into your match with Tyson Fury at Crown Jewel and you do your normal thing.
Literally did that.
It was amazing.
That was quite fun.
And he said, Fury will knock you out.
Yeah.
Don't do that. And he said, look, I've made a 345 PowerPoint presentation, 345 slide PowerPoint presentation of how you can beat Tyson Fury. Take a look. Slide one comes up. It's got some badly drawn things.
Fun cartoon characters.
And he goes, slide one. And then Braun beats him up.
Yeah.
Braun runs around the ring, does his thing, hits a power slam, wins.
We didn't even get to see the full PowerPoint presentation.
I want
to
see all other 344 slides.
Is it going to be on the WWE Network?
I hope so.
I really do.
So it's a shame that Gulak got jobbed. I know why they're doing it. They're trying to build the Strowman-Fury feud, and I guess it worked. Yep. I'm not more excited for the match out of this, I wouldn't say.
No, not really.
But... is what it is. We get another thing for WWE 2K20, which is coming out on Tuesday. And that's important because on Tuesday, we're going to be launching a Twitch channel for Screen Stalker.
Absolutely.
Twitch.tv/Screen Stalker. Go and follow us over there. We're going to be doing like 2K20 month after that thing comes out. We're going to be streaming that every day, Monday to Friday. It's going to be awesome. We're going to do like my career mode and universe mode and all this other crazy stuff on 2K20. So give us a follow over there. And then we'll have cutdowns of all the good Let's Play stuff on the YouTube channel as well. So follow us on Screen Stalker and subscribe to Screen Stalker if you haven't yet, because we'll be doing all that come Tuesday.
Definitely going to be very worth checking out.
Indeed.
Advert for
2K20.
2K20 here.
It's fine.
Yeah, you know.
It's whatever.
It's a game that's happening.
And it looks awful.
What was that thing that was it? Is it Corey tweeted out about how the graphics keep getting better?
Oh, you know. Well, do they?
I mean, kind of not, mate.
Absolutely not. And then we get the main event, which is Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns versus King Corbin and Shinsuke Nakamura. This is my nitpick that I was talking about earlier. Daniel Bryan comes out.
I thought it was going to be this.
Daniel Bryan comes out. Ad break happens.
Yep.
The heels have come out.
Yep.
Baron Corbin and Shinsuke Nakamura.
That.
Skip those two entrances. Then Roman Reigns comes in. You have one person from one team, the two people from the other team, and then one person from the first team.
Yeah. And
why?
I get why they put Roman out last.
Mm-hmm.
Because
absolutely.
They had, you know, that we skip Nax and Corbin's intro. so that we can get the captain of Team Hogan at WWE Crown Jewel, Roman Reigns. Who saw it coming?
I did.
Everyone.
Great audio content of us raising our hands
We raised our hands.
We raised our hands.
But yeah, I see what you're getting. Like, if they're going to have him come out last, sure, bring the heels out first.
Yeah.
Then bring out Brian.
Yep.
Then bring out Roman.
Correct. I hate it. It's a nitpick. It doesn't really matter. It just really annoys me.
Yeah, that's fair.
So yeah, Reigns gets confirmed, the captain of Team Hogan.
Shocker.
Cool. and then this match happens. It's fine. Again, it's a really formulaic tag match.
Yeah.
Faces take control, heels take control, ad break, faces come back, do the comeback, and then the finish happens. I will say they had a couple of good spots here.
Yep.
Baron Corbin did his run around the ring post thing, goes straight into a Superman punch from Roman Reigns, straight into a spear through the barricade.
Yeah, nice spot.
Really cool spot, like it.
I also like that there was a moment where... you know, Brian is crawling towards Reigns, like doing the whole, you know, crawl. Is he going to get there? No, of course he's not, because Corbin's going to drag Reigns off and Sami Zayn loved it.
Yeah.
He was going mental. It was like a kid in a candy shop.
He's always a kid in a candy shop. He's he's incredible.
He is.
I love Sami Zayn. But yeah, after that spear through the barricade, that left Brian and Shinsuke in the ring.
Yep.
Brian hits the yes kicks. He goes for the running knee. Shinsuke hits a knee of his own and he goes for the Kinshasa, but Brian hits the running knee for the win.
Yep.
Nice. Shinsuke lost twice in one night. Still got the title, but he lost twice in one night. Granted, one of them was by DQ. But still...
Yeah.
I don't know where they're going with this. I really don't know where they're going. Because they're putting over the unlikely alliance of Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns.
Yes.
So that's one plate that's spinning.
Uh-huh.
You also got that Bryan just beat the Intercontinental Champion. So is Bryan going to go for the IC title? Maybe. Is Roman going to get a rematch for the IC title because he got DQ'd out of his one at the beginning of the show? Is Roman going to feud with Baron Corbin? I don't know, because Corbin caused the DQ, and then they had those two had their spot through the barricade kind of thing. And obviously, Corbin wants to pay him back for The Rock or something. I don't know where they're going. Genuinely have no idea.
It is a very, very strange one.
Yeah. Honestly...
As ever, you have to wonder if they know where they're going.
I don't think they do.
No.
They're booking it week to week, and they go... not got Brock this week, do we? We'll stretch out Roman versus Brian, and we'll just put them two together a bit more. I don't know. And I think they're kind of just playing it by ear at this point.
Yeah, it does seem to be that way.
Yeah.
That's like they said, it was an unlikely alliance at the time, and now it's just getting odd.
Now it's just a likely alliance, like we said before.
Yeah.
Weird. Overall, I thought this was an incredibly mediocre, middle-of-the-road show.
Yes.
Nothing was overly damaging. Nothing was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing was good, I'd say. Nothing was overtly good, other than Otis. He's great.
Otis is fantastic.
And Sami Zayn is awesome. But
Sami Zayn, and then it's kind of sad that the next best thing was probably The Miz.
Yeah.
On Miz TV.
Yeah, that is actually true. And they're all really minor parts of SmackDown. That's the thing.
Mm.
The big matches and the people that we saw the most and the longest things that happened were all very kind of
mediocre.
And I mean, Nikki Cross as the number one contender is fine. It's better than most of the other ones that could have happened. However, we have seen that match quite a bit lately, granted with the face and heel dynamic swapped.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have a matchup that we hadn't seen before, but that's fine. Aside from that, there really wasn't anything on this show. It was really quite disappointing. And I'd say that... Even though SmackDown feels kind of bright and colourful and fresh and new, it feels really lifeless. It feels really boring. It's quite bland.
You're kind of watching it and you just sum it up with just, eh.
Literally, I say in my edited review that's going to be going out later today, I sum up the whole show with... just a shrug.
You shrugged, yeah.
Like, I don't know what to say about it. Overall,
it's disappointing. It's sad.
It is. It is. And I really wish I enjoyed the show more, but it was just kind of boring.
Yeah.
There wasn't much to it.
There's only so much time you can hold on to hope that these little things that you pick up on, the little things that are quite good, are going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that we've had to...
to say that Kofi's turning heel.
Deep dive into some pancakes.
Yeah.
to try and find something.
God, that sounds fun. I want to deep dive in some pancakes.
Big room full of pancakes.
Yeah.
Like Donald Duck diving into the gold, but it's pancakes.
I think you mean Scrooge McDuck. Thank you very much.
I've never seen them in the same room. But yes, I did mean that.
Yes. Overall, I gave this show a SmackDowner, a 2 out of 5.
That's fair.
It was boring, I'm sorry. Let's get in to some suit super chats. Let's see what you guys are saying. So we've got a few about Shorty G.
Yes.
So we've got Zach Icon Lipner said, can we still call him Chad and ignore Shorty G? I'd love to, but I feel like the commentary is going to hammer it home a little bit.
Yeah, I think they are really going to hand this up.
Yeah, for sure.
Can they shorten it even more? G-Man?
SG.
SG.
Now, all we need to know is his middle name is M and begins with M. So then it just comes SMG. Turned into a submachine gun. It'd be great.
Oh,
Dina Seaside said, not sure how I feel about this whole Shorty G deal. Me neither.
Neither are we. Yep. We're really quite not sure about it. That wasn't words.
It was close. But made about as much grammatical sense as the largest tag team turmoil match to determine the World Cup for the best tag team in the world.
You're getting very good at that.
Thank you. Justin Thomas said, to be fair, they told us Shorty G was happening. Doesn't make it any less stupid, but they did warn us. They did. And I was really hoping that they bailed. They bail on a lot of things.
Yeah.
They scrap so much stuff.
They bail on things we want to see.
Exactly.
Why couldn't they bail on the things we don't want to see?
But they don't bail on Shorty G.
No, you never bail on Shorty G.
Terrible. WWE Instagram, this comes from Oblivious Kari, sorry, said WWE Instagram wrote, Shorty G joined Hogan's team. Yep.
Mm.
Yep, he did. Shorty G and Ali got announced on this show. It was something.
Shorty G and Ali just sounds like a little-known mid-90s rap.
Shorty G and Ali in the house, etc.
Obviously, it would be in the house.
In the house, sorry,
We're talking 90s here. Come on now, get it together.
I'm too white, I'm sorry. Do you want to do the next lot of Super Chats?
Yes, we got some stuff about Bailey. Zach Econ Linda? Lindner.
Yep, that
one. I'm still learning these names.
Yeah, close to your mic, please, mate.
We want Sting Bailey, but we got Soccer Mom Bailey.
Honestly, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with like the image thing. I mean, the bob hair is maybe a little bit not particularly heel at times. But, you know, the whole package together seems to be working. Just give us that finishing move.
Give us a new finisher. That
absolutely
would be great.
Give us the finishing move. Matthew Robinson, I think with Becky and Charlotte on Raw, could be a good time to have a Dana Brooke babyface run against Bayley. She is a good in-ring talent.
I've heard very good things about Dana Brooke. I will be honest, I haven't seen that much of her. I only saw her when she was quite green back in the day.
Mm.
I haven't seen her recently. So, and from what I've heard, she's improved a lot. Yeah. I mean, she had a nice showing in this six-pack challenge,
actually. Yeah, she did.
She hit a nice swanton off the ropes, which looked really, really good.
She's got good aerial ability. She's clearly very, very strong with the flex.
Flex appeal.
I was about to say flex tape. That's a different thing altogether.
Flex tape.
That's an entirely different
thing. That's something, isn't it? I would have been okay with Dana Brooke winning this match.
Yes,
and becoming number one contender. Bailey cementing her heel character and beating Dana Brooke.
Yes.
I'd have been okay with that. Maybe not a Survivor Series. That's a long-ass feud.
Yes.
But like a mini feud for like 3 weeks or something. Have her beat someone. Have a new number one contender for Survivor Series.
It essentially would have done the same job as if she beats Nikki Cross.
Yes.
Similar kind of deal though going on there.
Yeah.
The AdNap 2 coming in. Miz was so hard on Bailey, I expected a match.
It was so good.
What, between Miz and Bailey?
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
I'd watch it. Be awesome. Be, nice. Be great. I'd love it.
Two-on-one handicap match, Miz versus Bailey and Sasha.
Bailey and Banks. Christ, that'd be awesome. We then got some about Crown Jewel. Swaff Daddy Johnny D says, so if The Fiend and Rollins can't stop for any reason, are they going to fight forever? It literally can't stop for any reason.
Why did we didn't think of that. Literally, the bell doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. The match can't stop, mate. You won? Tough. Keep going.
They're going to be just fighting in every single upcoming pay-per-view. You just see them in the background.
Yeah.
Just fighting as Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin go past.
That'd be amazing. Brandon Klug said, is The Fiend winning if the match can't be stopped? Honestly, I'm never getting my hopes up again.
No, me neither.
I'd love to see him win. I'm going to assume he's not. No, I'm going to assume Seth is just going to beat him clean and The Fiend is going to die from there.
Please no.
I know. I really don't want it to happen, but I refuse to get my hopes up anymore because Hell in a Cell ruined me. Mm-hmm. Timothy Jones says, hey guys, we all know Braun will lose against Tyson Fury, but what happens after? Does he get a push for being a good sport or back to the same Braun? I would say the latter.
Yes.
Back to the same Braun.
Back to the same Braun. He's just going to be a little bit angrier for a while.
Possibly. I don't even know if they'll do that. They might just drop it straight afterwards. But like Tyson Fury beat him, and Braun's just going to come out and be like, oh, get in these hands, etc.
What accent was that?
That's what he does.
He sounded like he was from Somerset.
It was a perfect impression, I think you'll find.
Get these hands.
Get these hands, mate. Oh, man. Zach Econ Littner, who's been very generous with the Super Chats today. Thank you.
Yes.
Do pinfalls count as a reason? Fight forever? More of the same.
Yeah.
Just never end the match, ever. Dustin Pilon says, prediction, Seth and Fiend brawl into the street outside the venue, and Fiend gets hit by a truck. That is how WWE justifies stopping the match. No.
They're not allowed.
You missed it. It can't be stopped for any reason.
No.
One of them dies? Tough. Keep fighting. Doesn't matter. Walk it off. You've got to fight. It can't be stopped.
Going for the big infinite count. Forever. Referee just getting so tired. Like, can I stop now? There's no reason to stop.
1,004. Right, do you want to do the next slot then of these miscellaneous ones?
Yes. Sterling Van saying, WWE make it believable that Roman can take a loss against one person. 2019 has been a good year for Roman to be a more likable wrestler. Tension is key, so give him some rivals. Have him lose clean.
100% agree.
Yep,
100% agree. Yeah, I think since he came back from leukemia, mm-hmm. I think he's been much more openly received by people, very favorably received. They lost us a little bit around WrestleMania time, but they've kind of brought it back now. He's still very likable, still very over.
Yeah.
So I'd say, have him have some big matches, but have him take some losses.
Yeah.
Be a top superstar who loses against big opponents.
Exactly.
It makes sense.
It's not going to hurt him as a character.
Not at all.
And if anything, to gain him even more.
Think about it in 2016. Finn Balor beat him clean.
Yeah.
Did Roman suffer?
Not at all. And it only served to, like, elevate Finn.
Massively so.
Very selfishly got injured.
I know.
How dare he?
What an idiot.
Right.
Next one.
Yeah. Jimmy G, I got my Beer 52 crate.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Nicely done. Ready for a lovely time with the boys. Keep up the good work, lads. Dave, you are a great friend, not a fiend. Thank you.
He's a great friend.
Thank you. I'm just a friend, Jimmy. I'm not a fiend, you know.
Still don't trust you.
You can trust me.
Can I?
Yeah.
Doing the head tilt, I don't like it. Thank you very much, Jimmy G. Thank you for the support. And of course, Beer 52, go down in the description. Get your free crate of craft beer. 10 beers. 10 beers for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Win-win situation here.
Do it.
Anyway, moving swiftly on, Matthew Robinson, what do you guys think about a dream match, Io Shirai versus Riho? I think it would be amazing. Also, love you guys' dynamic for Saturday Wrestle Live Ramble.
Hey.
Thanks.
Not a ramble anymore. It's Wrestle Talk Live. Very important. The ramble name is dead.
Never existed.
Io Shirai versus Riho would be awesome.
Yeah, we'd love to see that.
Love to see that match. That would be great. And thank you very much.
Yeah.
Love it. Thanks. Thank you.
Timothy Jones, back again. Will Drew Gulak be taken seriously on SmackDown? It was his first night and he gets demolished by Braun and he didn't even seem as arrogant as he was before.
He's a comedy kook.
Which is such a shame.
Yeah, he's a comedy character now on SmackDown, which sucks. Because if you literally watched NXT last week, not this week's episode, but last week's episode, an amazing Cruiserweight Championship match against Leo Rush. Like,
exactly.
I don't understand how Vince McMahon can be so oblivious to what happens in NXT to be like, he just lost this Cruiserweight Championship in a really, really good match, potentially show-stealing match.
Yeah.
And now he's here jobbing to Braun. Like, I don't know.
It's just sad. And
like, I hate it.
Drew is someone who I wasn't a massive fan of at first, but he grew on me.
Yeah.
He forced himself to grow on me.
He grew lacked on you? He grew-gulaked on you. Grew-gulak. I'm trying.
That is not your position. Yeah, it's a shame.
Sorry. It's not your position. Name your sex tape. Carry on.
Gosh darn it. Yeah, I hope he gets taken seriously. It's not looking good, though.
No, not at all.
Montauk. When will the SmackDown review be out, guys?
Good question. It's being edited currently. So as soon as it is edited, it will be put up. Last week, it was an extra special anomaly because obviously it was the first time that Dave had done anything on there. So I had to help him through a couple things. And it was the editor's first time editing that kind of video as well. Yep. So it went out super duper late last week. But this week, there won't be as much of an issue. There's no news attached to it. It is just the edited review going out. Mm-hmm. So it's a shorter video. And I got the recording to him earlier. So hopefully should be out a decent time today. Fingers crossed.
With any luck.
Yeah.
Justin McLean, Corey Graves said on the Pat McAfee show that they read off teleprompters. All the commentary is scripted. It's on the Friday, October 18th episode.
Does not surprise me. No. Yeah. They're absolutely read off prompters. They have everything prepared in advance. And anything that they say will be Vince McMahon telling them to say something.
Yeah. He's in their ears.
Yep.
It's a shame.
Yep.
Guy2231, happy birthday, Chopper Pete.
Still not my birthday, but thanks.
You love it.
Do I?
Yes, you do. Lil Dominator was at the show last night. It was all right. I really want to see all 344 more slides of Gulak's PowerPoint to stall him getting buried.
Yep.
Absolutely. I want to see.
I would love that, yeah. Can that actually be uploaded? I will check that out.
And more to the point, I want them to have been made by him.
Yes,
I want
that'd be great.
Him to have done it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It adds, you know, a certain sense of artistic merit. I don't know. Maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe potentially perhaps.
Next.
Walu TV.
Mayor of Painesville, Dan. We love him.
Nice. Well, I love him too. Hello, yes. Dave. Welcome to the team again. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Dan. You're a lovely person.
Thank you. Zach Econ Lindner, Viscount Dave the Friend.
Oh, yeah, that was another name you had. You had Viscount as well.
Yes, there was a Viscount in there somewhere. Yeah. A title.
God, I forgot you had so many names.
A title and lands.
Got lands somewhere.
I have grounds.
Yeah.
To build my mansion on.
Yeah.
I don't know where a mansion's coming from. Matthew Robinson, what wrestler would you choose as your spirit animal? Mine would be Ortiz from AEW. Love their crazy work.
What wrestler would I choose as my spirit animal?
Is there a wrestler that sleeps a lot?
No. Wow, my mind has gone blank.
In my mind now, no one wrestles. There are no
wrestlers. Exactly, yeah.
Now that I'm
my brain has just gone raw. I can't think of anyone.
Oh, blimey. We might have to come back to this.
AJ Styles. Because he's cool? I don't know. I'm sorry. That's a really bad answer.
From the follow-up to you saying he's cool has just proven why he wouldn't be your spirit animal.
You don't know. We'd get along like a house on fire. Anywho, we've got some new ones that came in after we started reading these. Matthew Robinson and Zach Econ Lindner, you have super chatted a whole bunch, and I feel like it was Matthew Robinson last week as well.
Yes,
that super chatted a whole bunch. Thank you.
You guys are the MVPs.
MVPs. Matthew Robinson says, we need the War Room back. I agree.
Yes.
I need the Fox football robot.
Absolutely, yes.
It was fun that Luke and Ollie didn't know why it was there. Way to go, Pete, for knowing last week. I mean, it was an NFL robot. That's as much as I knew. I don't know why it was there. Some sort of Fox thing, I assumed.
Yeah.
We still don't know, really.
We still don't have any concrete answers here.
I think someone tweeted me saying it's a Fox mascot.
Yes, yes.
And he's on, like, every NFL, like, production. He's always, like, there in the corner or anything. Mm. But, like, cool. Why is he on SmackDown? That's my question.
Yeah, it's... not sure.
Anyway. Zach Icon Lindner said, the D in my last name is pronounced like wind. So
oh, Lindner.
Lindner. That's hard to say.
We'll get there, promise.
We'll get there eventually.
Thanks for letting us know.
Matthew Robinson said, forever match. Seth starts running Fiend... Seth starts running. Fiend pursues in every night, both Raw and SmackDown pay-per-views forever!
Yes!
They just keep going forever and ever. It's a never-ending match.
Around. Braun does one of his run-arounds of the ring. They're going the other direction.
It's like 24/7 title shenanigans in the middle of a match, except it's The Fiend and Seth every time.
Benny Hill music, obviously. Absolute necessity.
Sometimes Curb Your Enthusiasm theme comes in. Be great. Jason Walker says, how do I get beer in the USA? Unfortunately, Beer 52 don't do it in the USA yet. I'm sorry. They're still a small company. They're expanding. They're still a small company. They're expanding.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you can't get it in the USA yet. But
hopefully in time.
In time, hopefully you can. So we've got another email here that I'd like to read out. Mm-hmm. We've got one from Chris, who says, hello everyone at WrestleTalk, whose names I'm currently too lazy to write out and fill at the moment.
Fair.
First off, before I get into my email, I'm going to officially claim the title of Dave's number one fan.
Oh, wow.
You've got a number one fan, man.
I have a fan.
You have.
This is beautiful.
You have. I'm you have invested. Not. Not only do you have a fan, you have a number one fan.
I'm heavily invested in this. It's great. Continue.
I've been listening to what used to be called the Wrestle Ramble for a while now. That name is dead. Don't ever talk of it again. It's the Wrestle Talk podcast, and always has been, sort of. And you guys talk quite a bit about D&D, and I love listening to the stories from your campaigns. As someone who's interested in D&D but has never played before, and whose experience with and whose experience with RPGs begins and ends with video games and hasn't played many tabletop games in general, how would you recommend getting started in the world of D&D? Also, tips on how to actually find people to play with would be helpful as well, since most of my friends are in the same boat as me when it comes to tabletop gaming. Thank you for any help you can offer. Dave's number one fan, Chris Adams. P.S. Happy World Food Day, Chopper. Thanks, mate.
Lovely.
Well, thank you for the email, Chris.
Thank you very much, Chris. That's warmed my cockles. That's steady now. Fantastic.
It's a family-friendly show, mate.
Oh dear, that's genuinely fantastic. Here, thank you ever so much. Yeah. Getting into D&D, I mean, we haven't been playing it for all that long.
Yeah.
My number one piece of advice: do not start with a wizard.
Just don't
do it.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Do not start with the wizards. You'll get lost. I did. Mm-hmm. I started with a wizard. Bad idea. Really bad idea.
Yeah.
There are simple builds to get into. Your basic stuff like your fighters, to an extent your barbarians.
Mm-hmm.
I would genuinely say, in much the same way as I started playing Skyrim, don't start with a caster.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it depends on exactly what you want to get from the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say, at first glance, there's a lot of things that seem very, very complicated to someone who's not used to seeing them.
Yes.
So I'd say, yeah, if you're gonna start and build a character, I'd say, yeah, try and keep it simple just for your first one. Just so you can get to grips with, like, the basic game mechanics and how combat works and things like that.
Yeah.
And then you can start thinking about, I understand the combat. I don't have to think about that stuff. Now I can think about what spells can I use in this kind of situation.
Exactly.
In terms of finding people, I would either look online, because there's always forums and places to go with people looking for campaigns and stuff, because you don't have to play in person.
No, absolutely not.
We do a lot of campaigns that are actually online through Discord and wherever else. And also, if you've got any sort of like gaming cafe or like some meeting place of that caliber where things like that are held, try and scope those out, because they're great places for it as well.
I was going to say gaming bars and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You tend to think they're more focused towards video games, but a lot of them will have some kind of tabletop focus.
Yes.
At least somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get out to any gaming conventions,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them will also have a dedicated tabletop area.
Yep.
Obviously, you know, there are... Where did our friend say he was based? I don't know if it was mentioned.
I don't think it was mentioned, no.
Fair enough, but if there are any conventions like out near where you are, and you've got the time, you can get there. Probably worth looking into.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pete said, online, genuinely, there are just forums around. There are a lot of forums where it's not just about meeting; it's about playing there as well. So that's worth a look into, I would say. Mm-hmm. And just watching existing stuff.
Yeah,
you know, D&D is something that's made a massive resurgence in the past several years.
Yeah.
And it's sort of casting off the shackles of being this crazy nerdy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's becoming quite popular. It's a very good time to get into it, I think. There's a lot of big channels and people out there who are playing it.
Yep.
A lot of voice actors who you probably know from stuff are playing D&D these days. So it's a good time to get into it. Keep it simple to start with. Look around online. see if you can get out there to any locations. People are generally very friendly with it. That's what I'd say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just as a quick addition to that, I'd say, yeah, if you want to understand how it works, if you really don't know anything about D&D, but it just sounds fun, I'd say, yeah, recommend definitely watch stuff.
Yes.
I'd say that's how I really got hooked on it, because I watch Critical Role. And literally, first episode, I was like, this is amazing. I love it.
Yes.
Also, High Rollers is another one that's based in the UK.
Yep.
There's Xavier Woods on Up, Up, Down, Down did a couple of series of that, if you want something that of people a bit more familiar to you, if you're a wrestling fan. I say, if you're a wrestling fan, you're listening to a wrestling podcast, so you know, you'd think you would be.
You'd have thought so.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff out there for you to try and find stuff.
And a lot of these channels do have their own help sections.
Yes, exactly.
They'll have series of videos. Handbook helper. Handbook helper. And they will break down everything per video, classes, items, spells, etc.
Yep. There's one final message I did want to get to. And this one wasn't an email, but this was a Discord message that I got off someone called Beth, who messaged me to say, "Hi, Pete, happy unbirthday." They messaged me last Sunday, so it would have been the day after our last SmackDown review. So I just wanted to say, I loved yesterday's SmackDown review with Dave. I think he's an excellent addition to the team, and I thought he fit right in. With you being his DM as well as friend, that really doesn't surprise me. And thanks to the both of you, I made it through what turned out to be a rather unnecessarily stressful night shift. Which brings me on to the point, I want to hear more about your D&D games. If you had more time, I would totally suggest you two running a D&D podcast, maybe Dice Stalker. Or, you know, just keep talking about it in the intro / outro. And then says, my partner, a fan of the WrestleTalk YouTube channel, runs a 24-hour downtime role-playing server on Discord, and we run live games on Roll20 generally several times a day. We play 5e and PF2. If you haven't played, you really should. It's awesome. And as D&D nerds too, I thought it may be something you and Dave would be interested in. I understand you guys are super busy, but it's always nice to know options are out there. Again, the podcast was great, and I can't wait for the next episode. Keep up with the consistency. Beth K from Leeds in the UK.
That's a really lovely message.
Isn't it just?
That's a very lovely message.
Literally responded, this was a lovely message to read. Right. That was what I said. And I said, I could do a lengthy response here, but I'll save it for the podcast where I can say it to Dave.
Absolutely.
So I love the sound of that. That Discord server sounds awesome. I will say, though, I'm very, very busy, so I can't promise how active I'll be in it, but it sounds very cool. I like
it. I'm not as busy.
Exactly.
Most of my business is taken up with D&D campaign.
Yeah, D&D. So, yeah, a little more D&D is all right. I'd say link me the link to that server. I can pass it on to Dave.
Yep.
We might see you in there.
That would be fantastic. I mean,
that would be rad.
Idea. And to our friend who messaged previously, that's another option.
That's another option, yeah. See if you can get in contact with
exist.
Beth K from Leeds in the UK.
Set this up. We'll make this happen,
well,
you know?
If you guys are in the WrestleTalk fan server on Discord, you can find each other on there. Go to WrestleTalk.com/Discord.
Perfect.
And you can join the WrestleTalk Discord server, and you can meet up there and get to playing some games on Roll20 through Discord. Man, we are great, aren't we?
We are just putting out so many fires right now.
I know. It's amazing. And thank you, Beth, as well.
Thank you
for messaging
Beth. That's
us.
A lovely message.
That was lovely. But that is all the time we've got on this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday. I think Ollie and Luke will be back for the Raw review. Until then, thank you very much for listening. I love you all. Goodbye.
Laters.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.